if you would, now please open your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. That better?
Yeah.
2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to be looking at the second part of the message we began last Sunday on the title, Never Give Up. And as I said last Sunday, this is a matter that I have given a great deal of thought upon. This is a matter that's been weighing very, very heavily upon my heart because I see so much of it around us today. There are so many folks that are just sad. They're despondent. They've been beat down. And they're at the point of where they're thinking, what's the use? Everything's flying apart. Everything is just not working out as they ought to be or as I planned for it to. And there's just absolutely no point. And that's a, when that happens, beloved, we are right exactly where Satan wants us. So let's read again 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse number 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear kind, gracious Heavenly Father, as we come in thy presence this morning, dear Lord, we're thankful once again for thy blessings upon us upon last week. Dear God, we thank you for each and every one that has come out to be with us this morning. Dear Father, we thank you for the visitors, and Lord, I just pray that you would use us to be a blessing to them. Dear Father, I pray that you'd help us to understand that this is a very real problem that we must face. And dear Father, that this is the reason why so much of the time that we just don't enjoy our service to you as we should. And dear Lord, I just pray now that you'd speak to us. Father, if there's anyone here this morning that's lost, I would ask that this would be the time that you'd speak to their hearts and draw them unto yourself. And dear Lord, what you do, we will thank you and praise you for these things we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as we continue on this, I also want to reiterate the fact that just because you come to the place to where you just want to quit, beloved, that does not make you a weak person. That is not a character flaw. That does not make you a weak Christian. It makes you human. That is a place where all of us can get to. And I dare say most of us have at one time or another. It's hard to swim upstream all time, isn't it? It's hard to walk against the wind all the time. And it's so easy to just figure out that I'm not getting anywhere, nothing's being accomplished, so I'm just going to go with the flow. I'm tired. And this must not be what I should have been doing to start with. And once again, that is where Satan wants us to be. Exactly where he wants us to be. And that is why we find so many believers in the state that they're in today. The sad state that they're in. And it's something, beloved, that I believe if we become aware of more and understand it a little more, we'll be able to fight against it a little more. Because the main problem that this gives us is that it causes us to feel as though we're isolated. It causes us to feel as though we're all alone, when in fact neither are the truth. We mentioned that last time. So as we continue to look at this in this area, we began last time looking at an incredible statement that was made, and that being when Paul said, "We faint not." This was in light of everything that he was going through, This was in light of all that was he battled, and we looked at some of those things last time. So I want to start off this morning by asking what is in fact a very searching question, something that we have to realize or look at ourselves, and that is there anybody here who can echo the statement that Paul made, that being that in spite of all the trials, in spite of all the tribulations that he went through, in spite of all the burdens that he was called upon to bear, Paul is able to say, I never lose heart. How about us? Can we say that? Can we say that when we go through our trials that we all face, whether it be individually or as a church? Beloved, let me tell you something. The trials that you go through show you that rather than being away from the Lord, just how close you are to him. Because Satan's not going to bother you when you're away from the Lord. He's happy and content to just let you go and do as you will. But beloved, when we are walking close to the Lord, you can expect problems. All those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer what? Persecution. Each and every church that serves God as best they can and is true to the Word of God as they possibly can be is going to have problems with Satan from time to time. You just as well get ready for them, because they're going to come, and they have come. And God has brought us through each and every one of them. Now, there might be somebody here today that's battling with some a thorn in the flesh that you have. We all have them, of one variety or another. That one sin, that one problem, that one thing, whatever it might be, I think one of the terms that the world uses today, and I don't have a problem with it, is addiction. Addiction covers a lot of things, doesn't it? And it's something that you had to fight against, and sometimes you win, sometimes it wins. Beloved, don't give up the fight. Stay the course. And by God's help, you will persevere. I'm not going to say it'll be tomorrow. I'm not saying it's going to be next week. But if you stay the course, you will persevere. And you'll be a far better person when you come out the other side. Is there anybody here who can say that I never get discouraged? That we can stop right there, couldn't we? Have you never thought that I just want to give up? That you can look at somebody in the face and keep a straight face and say that you are always encouraged, you're always excited, and you're always energized about your life and your walk with the Lord? I wish we could. To be perfectly honest, there are times when I get in my chair and I really don't, but the time I'm there, I don't really see any reason to get out of it. That's discouragement, isn't it? You sit there and say, boy, I made such a big mess of it last week. Why am I going to go in there and try to get something ready for next week? You know, what's the point? And that's Satan. That's all it is. And beloved, it will hit you. It will hit you. And why should I get ready and come to church tomorrow or today? Satan will allow you to think of 411 places you can go and things that you can do. And then the thought will come into your mind, they'll not miss me. All I do is come and sit and fill a pew. That's all. I sing the songs when they sing them. But I make sure I sing them to where nobody can hear me. Yeah, don't look at me like that. I know there's some of you that do that. So I'm just not going to go. First of all, it does matter. Second of all, you're an important part of us, and we enjoy your presence. Don't think all you do is just fill the pew. You do far more than that. Just by your prayers, by praying for the service, praying for the church, praying for one another, by taking part, singing, even if you do do it so nobody can hear you. Beloved, it matters where we go. And one of the biggest ones the devil slips in and says, well, nobody there likes me anyhow. Oh, my word. And we're kind of making a point to let folks know when they come through the door, they're welcome here. You know, we're tickled to death that they're here. You know, that's so don't let the devil tell you that. Because again, the Bible tells us he's a liar from the beginning, right? So why on earth do we believe anything he says? You know, let me ask you this. If you know for a fact, if you can prove 100% that somebody has looked you in the eye and lied to you, do you believe him after that? No. If you lied to me once, you'll lie to me again, right? Well, why in the world are we going to believe the devil when the scripture says he was a liar from the very beginning? And yet we do. All of us stumble from discouragement to discouragement to discouragement to disappointment, and the list goes on and on and on and on. We all have plans, or we all have ideas about something that's really going to be great, it's really going to work. Oh my, this is fantastic. And we get, we're all excited about it, and we gather everything we need to do for it, and we get it constructed, we get it ready, and we get ready to stop, and it dies right in the floor. That's it. Don't tell me that's not discouraging. Let me tell you something else that's discouraging. And kind of tie that into what I said a few minutes ago. How discouraging do you think it is to a Sunday school teacher that takes the time to prepare a lesson and nobody shows up for their class? Put yourself in their shoes. You talk about one just quit. So you don't tell me you're not important. Don't tell me you don't have an active part. Because if nothing else, and there's not that's not minimizing it by any means, but if nothing else, hopefully you learn. Little by little, bit by bit, piece by piece, you learn. You build. And not only that, when you have a burden, you have something that you're dealing with that's about to get you down, you got folks here that love you and pray for you. We may not be able to do anything visible, but we can certainly pray for you. And I believe in the power of prayer. Amen. There's nothing else like it. We all want to quit from time to time. We all want to just stop. And we want to become the place where we just don't want to give anymore. And the reason for that is that we feel that we have given all that we have to give, that the tank is empty. I cannot give anymore. Well, two things with that. One, it could well be that you just need to get off and rest for a little while. Rest your mind, rest your body. You'll find how fast you can energize yourself. Praying and reading the scripture and just getting away from whatever that is for just a little while. But I have found that when I have gotten to the end of my rope, that I still got a whole lot more rope underneath there. You'll be surprised what through God's help you can endure, what you can go through, and how strong it'll make you. You know, the greatest blessing that any of us can be to anybody else is that when they are really hurting, to help them. You know, that you can truly empathize with them because you went through something very similar, if not the same. Not what a comfort you are, but a help that you are. Most of us are just like David was. And that is, David said, "And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then would I fly away to be at rest." Psalms 55 and verse 6. Get away from this trouble. But young folks, here's a lesson y'all need to learn now. Before you get older and you think, that's the way to do it. You can't run away from your problems. Your problems will find you. You can't run away. You might want to, We might would like to, but you just can't do it. Because you're the same person regardless of where you're at. But you can't run away. It just doesn't work. David, Lord, you think about that. You know, if I could get wings like a dove and fly off, I'd fly right over somebody in dove season. It'd be my thing work for me. But stay the course. Stay with the Lord. I've said that many times. I probably will say it a lot more before I get through with this. Because it is my desire to be an encouragement. To let you know that what we deal with is not abnormal. It's just a part of life. And we need to be able to know how to deal with it if we're going to be able to overcome it. If we would be honest, we'd all have to admit that we would at times like to sprout a pair of wings and fly away from the trials and tribulations and troubles of life. Now, as I've said, I haven't said it here for a long time, but I've said before, you know, in regard to that, my wife's name should have been Angel. The reason being, she's always up in the air harping about something. We'd all like to be able to do that. Yeah, being able to fly could come in handy, you know. Just buzz around there and get someplace real quick. But anyhow, I digress. While there are times when leaving troubles and afflictions behind seem like the very best option, and it seems as though that is the place to where we all want to be and that we all desire to be and we all need to be, the thing that we need to be more interested in is reaching the place, coming to the point in our life, rather than looking for a way out. That we can say, as Paul said, I faint not. I do not lose heart. And I have seen people in the midst of grief still be able to hum a song to themselves. Be able to sing a song to themselves. Say, wow, how awful that is. They're not grieving. Yes, they are. Their inner person is still strong. Their outer person is hurting. Their outer person is grieving. But inside, they can say, I'm getting glory bumps now. It is well with my soul. That's one of my favorite songs because that song touched my heart. Long time ago, it is well with my soul. What a glorious, glorious song that is. You know, we just have to hang in there. And trying to think, get something straight in my head. No, I don't think I got it. We're just, we need to realize that the old hymn writer, and some of those older hymn writers, they had something. I'm not against new hymns, I'm not. But I think too many of the newer songs are written for profit. Those older songs are written as praise, and there's a difference. We need to be like that songwriter and understand how it comes. You know, there are times Satan whispers, there is no need to try. For there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. And that's where he wants us. I know I'm saying I'm on the same area. I realize that I'm not ignorant of what I'm doing, beloved. But this thing's got a hold of me, folks. I can't help it. It has. Maybe I'm the one who needs it. But folks, we've got to get past where we are. I'm talking about collectively. I'm not talking about anybody. We have to get past this block that Satan has if we're ever going to go forward and do the things that God has for us to do. So therefore, this one's got a hold of me more than a lot of messages here for a while. And the Lord has a reason for it. I believe with all my heart that this peace that David spoke of This place where David was, Paul was, is a place that's available for all of God's people, for all of God's children. It wasn't just relegated to him. It was relegated to everybody that serves the Lord, everybody who struggles, everybody that's labored. The scripture says, "Come unto me, all ye that are labored and are heavy laden." Although that labor and heavy laden. That passage is used many times in regard to folks who are lost, and it applies. But folks, I believe it applies, if not equally as much, if not more, to God's children. Go to him when you're heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
Rest for your soul. And when we went away last Sunday for a couple of days, I told Elaine when we got up here, the thing I'm wanting to do these next couple of days is, I feel pretty fresh, but I just want to rest my mind. Got too much stuff swirling around up here. It's pretty bad sometimes when I can take my medicine and being going down the road, and Elaine was looking at me and say, "Boy, your mind's going a lot of different ways, didn't it?" And we all talk about five or six different things at a time, it seems like. But sometimes you just need to rest your mind, just like sometimes you got to rest your body. And beloved, there's nothing better, there's not a better way in the world to rest your mind than to find someplace quiet and just think about the goodness of God Almighty. Think about his blessings. Think about his love. Think about his mercy. Think about the things that he has done for you. You'll find just how still your mind can become. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you may have or not have. We all know there's times that our minds are going a lot faster than it ought to be. We've got so much stuff rattled around, and there are times when you lie down at night, you just can't get your mind to stop. We need to be able to rest. The Lord spoke of it. Go to him for rest. Now, we're going to look now at a familiar struggle. You already looked at the fact that it is so very, very easy for us to lose heart. The reason that it is so easy is found in verse 16. And in verse 16, Paul identifies a common struggle that we all face. Verse 16, which says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." If we look at ourselves, if we take a very close look at ourselves, Paul says, though our outward man, our outward person, if you will, perish. And the reason it is so easy for us to lose heart, it is so easy for us to become discouraged, is the fact that the outer person, the outer man, as Paul said, is perishing. You are perishing day by day. The outer person, the outer man. Now, the outer man, as Paul said here, and we know that this is, that is a, as Paul uses it, it's gender neutral. We're talking about men and women. And the simple fact is that this refers to the fleshly part of who we are. That refers to our bodies. That refers to what goes on that everybody sees, the outer shell of who we are. This encompasses both the body as well as the mind. I've known some great, strong, powerful preachers who, when the Lord took them home, didn't even know their own name, didn't know who they were or where they were. It's all part of the fact that the outer man is perishing. And that's something we just need to realize. The results of aging in the body and sin in the mind conspired to take away our joy, to take away our hope, and to take away the peace of our heart and our mind. There was nothing that I enjoyed more fleshly than when I would go in the woods or crawl up in my tree stand and just be up there in a tree about 20 foot and just relax and wait for something to come by. But the realization has come to me this year that I'll never do that again. I can't climb a straight up ladder anymore. Due to age and some complications, if you will, my knees won't let me do it. And that takes part of the joy. Oh, I got a place that I can go. It was easy to put up, wasn't it, David? Yeah, they said we could. They said four men could put it together in 2 hours, and it took three of us about five. But anyway, so I can get up in the air a little bit, and I'm in a better place, really. But it's just not the same. So what happened? Age has taken that away. And folks, age will take some things away from you. I'm not ashamed to admit this. There was a time when I used to love to do count and cross stitch. And I could do it. I could make stuff with it. But the old itis fellers decided to settle into my hands, and I can't hold a needle for the time it takes to do anything. And I've tried little stuff, I've tried different forms, and the simple matter is I just can't do it anymore. So that joy was taken, but you know what the Lord has given me? Oh my. I can play with wood. Me and Steve get out there and play with wood. I go up on a mountain and I play with a lot of stuff. You know, somebody could ask me and say, "What are you doing?" I don't know, but I'm having fun.
Amen, bro.
Yeah. That's the only reason why I keep Mikey around. He serves a purpose. You know, God will replace things if you'll just look around. May not be anything related to what you did, but it may not be the same. But He will give you things that gives you joy. That age and things takes away from it. Our hope. You know, what have I got to hope for? I can't do anything. Well, again, we've already touched on, yes, you can. Yes, you can. The sin that so easily besets us, as the scripture says, that works like the little foxes that we find in the Old Testament, those are the things that disturb our hearts and our minds. Because if you're saved and you indulge in sin, this Holy Spirit of God within you is not going to let you enjoy it very long. It's going to plague your mind. It's going to take your joy. Why? Because you know you shouldn't have done it. You know you shouldn't be involved in it. You know you shouldn't have any part of it. So, you make no mistake. In regard to the life of Moses, the Bible says the joy of sin for a season. So sin will give you fleshly joy for a time, but it won't last. And I dare say, from my experience, it's not quite as much fun as I remember as it was before. So these are the things that comes around to work on our outer man. We are told here in the pad, verse 16, that the outer man is perishing. Now, at the risk of being a little crude, maybe, the word perish carries with it the meaning of to rot, to ruin, to corrupt, to be destroyed. Now, I've read one time, and I can't remember now if one of those pieces of information has gone away from me, but it was incredibly fast, I thought, when I read it, just how fast these bodies start to decompose once a person dies. It's instant. Yes, things start to happen immediately. Why? This flesh is rotten. You ever get a good whiff of yourself after a hard day outside sweating? Why? This flesh is rotten. So when it's talking about the outer man perishing, just think of it. It is a process of rotting. You know, you get a potato, for example. You don't see that. You don't get the rot on the outside. That's already worked its way all the way out, right? Mm-hmm. It starts within, and then comes out. And that's the same thing with us. We are dying. The outer man is dying inwardly, and it is working its way out. And when it finally comes out, we leave this world at whatever point God has for us to do that. It ruins Everything we touch is tainted by sin. Everything. That's why, you know, when they moved the Ark of the Covenant from one place to another, they carried it by staves. They didn't touch it. They were not permitted to touch it. And remember what happened when Uzzy touched it? God killed him right on the spot, didn't he? You could not touch it. Man could not touch it. When they were at one time, when they was up on the mountain, God commanded Moses to let them know, you don't let anybody come to this mountain. You don't let anybody touch it. Whether it be man or beast, if they touch it, you are to kill them. Why? Because it was a holy place because of the presence of God. What was it he told Moses out of the fiery bush? To take his food, from off his feet. To take his shoes from off his feet. Why? Because the ground he stood upon was holy ground. Right? You know, it doesn't matter. That's why, beloved, one of the reasons why we have no part whatsoever in our salvation. Because if we could touch it and we could do anything, we wouldn't defile it. Because this old sinful flesh ain't nothing but defiling. It's all there is to it. It's ruined. Corrupt, which carries the same idea, and then to be destroyed. Each and every day, the outer man is being destroyed by pain, by problems, by burdens, and trials that are thrown against it. Some folks like to minimize it. And inside, my inward man just grins when they do. Let me tell you something. Stress will kill you. Stress will age you. Stress will do a lot of things to you. That's part of the burdens that life has. You're not going to get away from them. It's just the fact that they're there. Sometimes you get a little respite, but they're still there. You can't get away from them. And you think about a person who is in constant, chronic pain. Do they enjoy life? And it eats away at them, little bit by little bit by little bit. And the sad thing is, because of abusers and people getting stuff they had no business getting, it makes it almost impossible for somebody who does need something to get it. And that's a shame. That's a shame. All the things that goes against this body all the time. The reason that we are so prone, that it is so easy, that it's almost second nature for us to lose heart, is because our outer man is being destroyed, corrupted, and ruined every day. Think about it. If you're enjoying a program at home on television, even if the program is good, when the commercials come up, most of them aren't, right? They will show you all kinds of things that will actually destroy you and present it as fun, as presented as good, as presented as enjoyable. So that's just an example of how we are bombarded all the time. You go out if you work in the public works, most of your co-workers, I dare say, are lost. And oh my, the thing that you hear while you're trying to do your day's work. It's wearisome, isn't it? These are the things that the outer man has to face all the time, every day. And it takes a little bit of you away every day. That's why after a time, you look back and you don't even realize who you are. Because of the wear and tear of what you face. It's kind of like I told you that day last, it was a joke I was saying, but when I was going by the plate glass window of Beckley with my hat on, I caught my reflection, and when I saw it, I thought, first of all, it hit my mind is, who's that old man wearing my hat? It's what happens. It's what happens to the outer man. So we need to recognize that fact. And not be discouraged when it happens. It's all part of us. You look at it this way, folks. Nobody's ever said anything about my hair. And I take, you know, it takes hours to get this to look right. Don't it, Steve?
It does.
But I have been asked, you know, have you ever thought about, you know, you can get that stuff and make your beard not white, make you look younger. Nope, not interested. Because I think my wrinkles and my white beard and my gray hair, what I've got, the scars that I have, tells the story of my life. And I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not ashamed of who I am. Folks, embrace who you are. Embrace yourself. I'm not telling you to be proud, but to be arrogant, to be cocky. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying understand that God has used you. God will use you, and the things that you have done will come. I will say this: there's been a few times I've been somewhere around people that have been known or whatever. They look at this white beard and they treat me like I got wisdom or something. So I try my best not to ever say anything so I don't want to fool them. Let's move on to the source of our destruction. You know, I said last Sunday, you know, this is not the most uplifting thing for a while, but we will get there. We just need to get us down to where we understand fully what we're dealing with, what we're up against. The source of this destruction. The destruction of the outer man comes from two sources. The first one is our fallen nature. Most folks don't want to understand the fact that we are all fallen descendants of Adam. When Adam fell, we fell with him. When Adam died spiritually, we died with him. And it takes the renewing of the Spirit of God to make us alive once again. Adam did not get bruised in the fall. He died in the fall. And in him so did we. The federal head of the human race. You can see here some people refer to it. The whole world. Not only just ourselves. But think about what sin did there. He told Adam that from that moment therefore that he would earn his bread, he would earn his living, if you will, through the sweat of his face. Right? Wouldn't it be nice to have been able to plant a garden and not ever have to fight weed, not ever have to fight a bug? And could you imagine what that would have been like? Oh my. No more. Because of the fall, you plant a garden and you fight with it just about the whole season to be able to get anything come fall. Because of the fall. What did he say to Eve? He told Eve that as she would bear children through great travail. Right? And I ain't about to touch that one. I've witnessed a few, and only from the standpoint of witnessing. I'm not about to say I understand what the ladies go through because I don't. But that part of Scripture is true. Through great travail. Why? Because of sin. Had there not been any sin, ladies, you'd be able to have children and not have any pain at all. You can take that up with Eve when you get to glory. But not only that, the world itself, the earth, was cursed through the fall. You know, it talks about how that, well, we'll get there in just a second. We'll get there in just a second. The whole world is under the curse of futility, pain, if you will, and suffering, corruption, and the utter destruction. The Bible talks about how this world is going to be destroyed with fire, doesn't it? How could the earth suffer problems with futility? If you ever plant a garden and nothing comes up? Or just a few things comes up? Futility. If you ever toil and dig out your taters and you find out you didn't even get your seed back? Futility. So it's a part of the curse. But we find also that the Scripture says in Romans chapter 8, verses 22 through 23. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And that now carries even to now, our day and time. And not only they, but ourselves also, which had the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. The redemption will come. The world groans until that time. Then it'll be released from the curse that it's under. In a very real way. Now here I'm gonna find out how many people listen to me, because I'm gonna see some heads pop up like gophers. In a very real way, when God saves us, it's not all at once. See, I told you. Now stay with me here. Stay with me. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Now, we are already saved, if God has saved us. We are forgiven and justified because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, and when he rose from the tomb was now empty because of the resurrection. When the Spirit of God draws us to him and we come to him in faith and repentance, he eternally saves us from the penalty of our sins. We are forever saved, and the act of that salvation is not progressive. That's not what I'm saying. What I am getting at is that we are not yet free from corruption and death. That part we still have to deal with. Well, if anything that those false teachers teach that the eradication of the old nature, if anything was true, I wish that were. Because if the old nature was eradicated, we'd never sin anymore. Wouldn't that be sweet? But it's not so. Let me tell you something. If the old nature was eradicated, we then wouldn't lean on the Lord like we do now. You know, this makes us lean upon him for help and for strength. It's just not a part of it. And we are told in Hebrews, and as it is appointed unto man, once to die. No getting around that fact. No getting around that fact. There are a lot of times we don't understand it. You know, the little babies die. Some through natural causes and some through abuse, but babies die. And sometimes when you think about a little baby whose whole life is in front of them, you know why? But they, whatever it was, their purpose was served. And they went to be with the Lord. I know I've heard some people say that there are some babies that are in hell, not all babies are saved, and those people are crazy. They are absolutely crazy. I think the babies that die are with the Lord.
Amen.
I believe that with all my heart.
Amen.
A fact that we just can't escape. Each and every person that is here will waste away and die. You know, I've thought about from time to time, What will I feel like when I come to the point where I don't have the force in my voice that I have now? You know, that it begins to weaken as everything else does. What am I going to feel like when I'm not able to do the things that I do now for the church and with the same, strict physical strength that I have? But that's easy. I mean, work around it. We're all going to waste away. Unless the Lord returns, every one of us will be one day laid away. That's just a fact. And the Bible makes it very clear. The person may die of old age, or they may simply slip out into eternity in their sleep. Wouldn't that be the way we'd all choose to go? But we don't have any say in that matter. We might die, folks might die as a baby, a child, or even a young adult, with most of their life, well, basically their whole lives in front of them. It is possible to, It really troubles me when I see younger folks live like they're made out of steel, like they're bulletproof, and nothing can happen to them. They can do as they please. They can sow their wild oats. There's consequences, folks, and you just never know. Every time you take a really foolish chance, if you survive it, God has blessed you. God's smiling on you. And sometimes I think we miss the mark. Sometimes I think we miss the message. I think this is all I'm going to say about this is I know somebody that should have got a very, very loud message last week. And I hope that it happened, but I'm not so sure that it did. That's tragic. Just because you're young, you're not bulletproof. It breaks my heart to come across a young person who, when I look at them, they look older than I do. That's heartbreaking. And to me, it doesn't know how the flesh works. To take in our bodies, or, say our person's body, the stuff that is in some of the narcotics people take, especially meth. Man, that stuff just rots you away. And you want to do that. That's the part that I don't understand. But nobody puts a gun to your head and makes you starve. Right? Mm-hmm. Nobody does that. And a reasonably sane person is going to understand what's going to happen. Because look at the people that are on a regular basis. That's tragic, folks. It really, really is. And that's why we see so many young folks that just are no longer with us. They don't go until it's their time. I understand that. And that's why they're not with us. That's what is taking them out of here. There are some who could drop suddenly of a heart attack. You could be feeling fine, you could be doing just fine, and all of a sudden, your heart just says, God tells the heart, you stop. And it does. And lights out. And it can happen to anybody. I've known it happen to children, I've known it happen to adults. A person could die suddenly in a car wreck. And a lot of folks died in car accidents. They crawl in a vehicle, think they're going to go somewhere, do something, and the next thing, before they realize it, they're stepped into eternity. It's not out of the realm of possibility. We could even get struck by lightning. That could happen. It's not, the odds are not real heavy that it will, but it's a possibility, isn't it? Simple fact of the matter is, there are at least, and this is not a number that's solid by no means, but there are at least 10,000 different ways we can leave this world. But however it is, and with whatever means it might be, the fact remains that the outer man is perishing. And that's just proof of what we say. And I'm going to stop here, and hopefully we'll conclude this next week. On the upward part, I don't want to leave it right here. That's kind of, that's not really a good place to stop. But folks, we can leave this world with a smile on our face. We can leave this world saying that, I have no regrets. I remember very, very vividly the many times that both Steve Gunner and Cliff, when I would talk to them, they'd say, I have lived a good life. Both of them. Multiple times. We can all say that. How? By not giving up. And by trusting in the Lord to deliver us and to help us and to give us strength. Knowing that he'll bring us through. The simple reality that I'm wanting us to see through here is just simply don't give us. Let us pray.